Okay, here we go. This is Talking Honor, the ROH podcast dedicated to Ring of Honor. My name is Harley R. Padgett. I cover Ring of Honor for the Pro Wrestling Torch. I do live reports on Honor Club events. I do television coverage. I do pay-per-view coverage. All that stuff. I'll be busy this weekend trying to do some written reports for you folks, covering Streaming for Vengeance. That's the Jericho Cruz mini pay-per-view kind of thing, which is airing this Saturday on Honor Club, as well as Survival of the Fittest, the 2018 Survival of the Fittest tournament happening this Sunday in Columbus, Ohio. I'll have live written coverage of that as well, and we'll be giving our predictions later on in this show, myself and my co-host, Emily Fear.
That's me.
Yep. Busy. We're heading into November. Only 2 months left, two days left in October. And November is a big wrestle month. ROH has Survival of the Fittest, 4 dates of the Global Wars Tour. We got our 4, weeks of regular television. We've got Streaming for Vengeance, New Japan, Power Struggle. Anything else?
That's just the stuff I'm following.
You're
I'm
going
sure
to TV
that...
tapings for ROH.
Yes. Yes, I'll be going to the TV tapings the day before Survival of the Fittest. They are doing a set of TV tapings in Pittsburgh, PA on Saturday night. So that is where I will be. And I will have to catch up on Streaming for Vengeance from the Jericho Cruise. I'll have to catch up on that probably Sunday morning.
Yes, busy, busy time. We have some friends out overseas right now on the Jericho Cruise. Our elite repeat co-host, Tempest, is on the boat. So is our regular listener, Sociaria Ward Clark. You have another friend on the cruise?
Just a couple of Twitter friends that are on there. I know Asita Marie, who is a New Japan stalwart, huge Kenny Omega fan, is on that boat as well. Hope everyone's having a good time and not getting seasick.
Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to seeing footage from the cruise. I've seen a couple of photos of like where the ring is set up and stuff. And it actually kind of reminds me of the Field of Honor tournament that, or the Field of Honor show that ROH has done in the past.
Yeah, I saw that in your notes. And actually, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, because because it's in an open setting, and also because it's just such an unusual setting for wrestling. You don't often see a wrestling ring on a baseball diamond or in the middle of a cruise ship.
So I've never been on a cruise, and I tend to lose sight on just how big a cruise ship is. And so I kept thinking like, oh man, how do you do a wrestling show on a cruise ship? Like, how do you have the space? But I forget that cruise ships are like the size of small towns. They're like huge. They're the size of like a main street. And yeah. So of course
I had to look it up when this month or two ago when they announced this, because I was like, how do you do, it's a boat. It's only a boat. Like, isn't this going to be like crazy for the wrestlers? They can't go anywhere without being sworn by their fans and by like people. They won't be able to have a moment alone to themselves. And then I looked up, I think, a floor plan for the Jericho Cruise, and it's like 22 stories and a couple of miles long and stuff. It's a city. It's a giant city that just happens to be like traveling through the water.
Yeah, it's like a small town size amount of space you're talking about. And I was kind of curious, and our friends on the boat will have to let us know how this works, but I'm going to guess that there's an area that's off limits to anyone who isn't carrying like a certain type of pass. And that's not unusual for a lot of cruise ships that may have like different levels of access points or different like VIPs and stuff like that. So I'm guessing on the Jericho Cruise, there's like a whole wing of the boat that's like just for the wrestling talent.
Yeah, there'd have to be, because you figure there's got to be a level that's only for the captain and for the crew and people like that, right? Where patrons aren't allowed. So same idea, the secret 13th floor of the hotel.
Ooh, the 13th floor of the cruise. I would not want to stay on the 13th floor of the cruise ship. Just saying. Mm. You're already out in international waters. I've already like feared the idea of that boat sinking. So no, not going to press your luck there.
Well, if we're lucky, we'll be getting a new episode of Being the Elite. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow. And I cannot wait to see their footage from on the cruise.
I'm pretty excited. As much as I would never, and this is no shade against any fan that's on the boat or anyone who is looking forward to it, I just don't particularly like the sound of cruises and would not want to be on the Jericho Cruise nor any cruise for that matter. That being said, I'm excited to see some Being the Elite footage to see the hijinks that are taking place on the open waters.
It's probably going to snow here this week, so I wouldn't mind being on the cruise at this point. And I'm kind of an old woman at my soul, in my heart. Like my dream vacation is renting an RV and just driving around North America. That sounds so fun to me.
That sounds awesome. I think there's just a whole like cruise culture and cruise. I just it doesn't appeal to me. I like the RV idea, or I'm certainly not against the idea of like a resort, but for some reason a cruise just doesn't appeal.
Fair enough.
Airborne sicknesses, I feel like it's just, yeah. Ugh.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, we had a week of Ring of Honor television, as per usual. 3 matches, as per usual. Before we get into that, slight detour. Hey, Emily.
Hey, Harley.
Here's a story that longtime listeners will be thrilled to hear the return of.
Wait. Can I guess? So
it involves fashion.
Did you finally start your own line of wrestling apparel?
No, I'm not competing for pro wrestling tees, and neither is ROH based on your customer service.
Uh-oh. So I'm going to guess that this has to do with a certain free t-shirt that you earned.
I'll try to make this as quick as possible because God knows we've dedicated hours to it on the show at this point. July 28th, I reached 100 points on my ROH account. You can earn points on your account by answering trivia questions or playing like match pick'em, guessing who's going to win matches at pay-per-views. And you can earn points. And if you log into your ROH account on your website or the app, it has your points total in the top right corner. And I was just doing it for fun. July 28th, I hit 100 points and I got an email from chall@rohwrestling.com saying, congratulations, you earned 100 points. We want to reward you with a free wrestler tee from the ROH Pro Shop. Use this code at checkout and the tee of your choice is yours on the house. I'm like, cool, a free t-shirt. I wear t-shirts. So I tried to use the code and it wouldn't work for some reason. I tried multiple times over 3 or 4 days, no luck. So I emailed to let them know. It took about a month of me emailing multiple people as well as phoning people and speaking to people physically in the ROH office before I finally had the coupon code situation sorted out. This C Hall person kept ignoring my emails or would respond and ask me the same thing that I had already answered in the previous email. Things like this. Finally got a hold of somebody on the phone. They gave me a new code. It worked. I purchased an ROH shirt, did the order through, free shirt. No shipping, no anything. They're not charging me a cent. They're just sending me a free shirt for my fan support and patronage. Amazing. I get an email confirming this 1 month after this all started on August 30th, saying thank you for your order. Here is the link to check on the status of your order. And I wait for the mail to arrive. I wait 4 weeks. I wait 6 weeks. I think shipping, you know, it can be like 6 to 8 weeks sometimes. Mm-hmm. Shipping. Not everywhere is Amazon where it arrives like the next day, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you order something from Pro Wrestling Tees, you could wait a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and I'm in a different country, so I'm totally forgiving, just waiting, figuring it's on its way. Mm-hmm. 2 months after I was told my t-shirt was on the way, I think maybe I should check on the status by checking this link in the email that they've sent me and I've saved, and I click on the link. And it's a dead link. It goes nowhere.
No.
The page doesn't exist. I go into my ROH account and I go to past orders and there's nothing. I go to outstanding orders. There is nothing listed. There's no indication on my account that I ever ordered a t-shirt, that any t-shirt was ever being sent my way. The only indication is text on the main page saying how many points I currently have on my account and, quote, last reward sent to you on 7/28/2018. So that's the only proof that a reward was supposedly sent to me.
And yet it never arrived. And here we are, October 29th.
Yes, a full 3 months after I first got that first email saying, hey, you earned 100 points. We're going to give you a free shirt. So I emailed this C Hall again, which, you know, his email is the one attached to this email saying that the order has been sent to me. So I'm just hitting reply and responding back. I'm not singling out any one person. I'm just hitting reply to the person who emailed me. And this was a week ago. I said, it's been almost 2 months. This hasn't arrived. The status link is dead. Any idea, any update? A week passes and he doesn't respond at all in any capacity. So last night after watching ROH television, I just kind of had like a breakdown. Honest to God, I was just so frustrated and so tired and fed up with this. I emailed back again to C Hall as well as help at ROH Wrestling, info at ROH Wrestling, this Todd person who had helped me in the past as well when I had spoken to him on the phone. I just tried like 6 different email accounts and just emailed anyone I could think of. And I said, I updated him. It's been 3 months since I got this email. I placed an order, waited 2 months. Now the email doesn't work. And I will quote myself because this is what I wrote at 11:45 last night. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be an asshole. Part of me says it's just a shirt and it's not worth the months of headaches and frustration that this has already caused me. I should just give up and forget the whole thing. But the other half of my brain reassures me that it shouldn't be this difficult to get a t-shirt selected and mailed out to me. That I never asked for any free gift. It was offered to me. And that I shouldn't have to email over and over in order to even get a response. Please just tell me what I'm doing wrong and what I can do to finally end this whole thing and disappear from your lives and inboxes forever. This is where I'm at.
This is where you're at.
This morning, I did finally get a response. Not from C. Hall, screw that guy, but from Christina Myers, executive assistant. And she writes, please provide us with a mailing address and we will ship the shirt today. Also, please include another shirt on us for the inconvenience this has caused. We apologize for the inconvenience.
Oh.
I write back and say, just this original shirt that I wanted in a medium is fine. I don't want any extra shirt. I'm not looking for a handout. I just want the original one that you guys offered 3 months ago. And after a little bit of back and forth with Christina, she informs me that on November 11th, at Global Wars in Toronto, I can just go to the merch stand and she'll be there and hand me my free t-shirt in person.
Oh my gosh. Okay. All right. So.
So stay tuned until after that event.
Yes.
To find out.
We get another like week and a half. And then the culmination, you have to take a picture of you with the shirt.
Wearing my shirt if I ever get it.
The fans of this podcast, the devoted listenership is demanding, Harley. You have to share this. We need proof.
I know, because it's been, it was a long 3 months just to be like, hey, you earned 100 points. Have a free shirt. And I'm like, okay, cool, thanks.
From there.
3.5 months later.
As many epic journeys do start, it starts with a very simple premise and turns into something far more epic. But it looks like you're on the precipice of the culmination of the ROH T-Shirt Rumble 2018.
To paraphrase TK and Vinny, the t-shirt conspiracy is over. Anyway, there was wrestling on TV this week.
Yeah, in addition to wrestling t-shirts, there was actually wrestling that happened.
Searching for more great pro wrestling talk? Then join me, Jason Powell, host of the free weekly Pro Wrestling Boom podcast. Each week, you'll hear the latest news and analysis from me and my team at ProWrestling.net, along with other Pro Wrestling Media members. Plus, the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast features long-form interviews with notable names in the pro wrestling industry. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Downcast, and all your favorite secondary apps, or visit us directly at PWBoom.com. Once again, that's PWBoom.com.
Our main event, world champion Jay Lethal and the Octopus, Jonathan Gresham, took on this week's New Japan guest stars, Kushida and Jushin Thunder Liger. We had Kenny King on commentary. I did like Ian Riccaboni pointed out that Kenny King has defeated Liger and Kushida and Gresham in recent memory.
Yeah.
He's Lethal.
When did he fight Kushida?
At the... you're putting him on the spot. Not the last pay-per-view. He beat Liger at the last one.
Yeah.
At best, was it best in the world?
Kushida? What? No.
No.
Kushida and Jay fought at best in the world.
I'm going to look this up. You give us your thoughts on the match.
Okay. So I follow New Japan, and Harley, you kind of like, you touch and go. Like, you keep track of it, but you don't tend to watch a lot of it. So I
keep tabs, but I have the time to watch the actual shows.
Yeah. So I maybe am a little bit more forgiving when we have these matches than you are, in that, like, I understand that there's not a whole lot of story here that's being pushed forward. And this whole episode in general didn't feel so much like a story. I was left with a lot more questions when it came to a lot of the matches, as far as like the futures of various wrestlers and like where they are, that where they're at now in ROH versus where they were at the beginning of 2018. But with this particular match, I think we are just getting another establishing step in the story of Jay Lethal and Jonathan Crush as a pair. And I think that it was in your summary for Pro Wrestling Torch. You know, I do read your summaries, and I often like get a lot of really interesting food for thought from them. I think your point about possibly having them take on the Briscoes for a future tag team champion title match makes a lot of sense, because Lethal and Gresham have this really good, established, strong rapport. They keep taking on various opponents, some of whom they take on as, you know, part of the storyline with Bully Ray, when they took on Bully Ray and Silas. This with Kushida and Liger, it's just them establishing a win over two wrestlers who have come in and out of ROH as very like dominant threats whenever they do come in. Liger and Kushida always get over very quickly with the crowd in ROH. They're established competitors. They always bring with them a certain level of prestige, even though, you know, they're not often in ROH because they're full-time in New Japan. So Lethal and Gresham getting a win over them, I think, is an important note for the Gresham-Lethal pairing. Not so much with the story of them in this particular opponents, but like in the fact that they got a win over guys who are generally well regarded and considered very highly competitive in ROH.
So Kenny King defeated Kushida to capture the television title at Death Before Dishonor 2017.
Ah, okay. So within a year.
We were remembering. I do remember that now that I looked it up. I was thinking it was like earlier this summer, and that's why I was blanking. But yeah, it was only a year ago. That's not so long ago that it damages King's, you know, claim to fame or anything.
No, it's within a year-ish time frame, so that definitely fits. And I like that they had King on commentary for this, because, you know, we are getting storyline pushed along for that, with Kenny King having his sights now so defiantly set on that world title. It's nice to have that done in a way that, like, we could get a competitive match, maybe get a furthering of this tag team story with Lethal and Gresham, while also giving King another, like, opportunity to make his play for that world title that he so desperately seems to think is he deserves.
Yes, I mean, I'll admit, lately I've sometimes been wondering if I'm too critical of ROH, if I focus too much on the stuff that doesn't grab me, and not enough on the great stuff and stuff that I do love. And honestly, I think a lot of my criticisms just come down to a matter of tastes. For me personally, I'm a story person, right? Like, I don't watch other sports for the same reason that I just don't. Nothing about football or MMA or hockey grabs me. I don't care. I care about the characters and the storyline developments, things like that. And that's not necessarily ROH. That's not what ROH was built on. They were always built as being more of like, here's a great match between two or four great wrestlers. And maybe there's not a big story here. Maybe there's not a lot of like intrigue or characterization, but that's not their brand. So it's unfair of me to criticize them for that.
I mean, I don't want to say that it's unfair of you to criticize them for that, because they are also pro wrestling, and pro wrestling does need to have a certain amount of storytelling to make that whole universe, that the pro wrestling universe, that reality work. And so the storyline is part of the thing that we buy into, so that the things that are fabricated, the things that like our character and gimmick work even more because there's a whole like reality context for it. When we get these more like, you know, athletic competitions that are just kind of honor-based competition, that's fine, but we do need a balance. And I actually, in this episode, I was totally fine with this, especially given how kind of storyline heavy a big part of this episode became. And we'll get to that with like Flip Gordon and Bully Ray and a lot of the like bluster and a lot of time given to this like ongoing saga with Bully Ray and them trying to get Flip over and et cetera. Because we were given so much time set on that, it was kind of nice to have a tag team match that was just like two really talented sets of wrestlers against each other without a whole lot of drama involved, but with stuff on the fringes to keep it interesting and to like develop stuff moving forward.
Yeah, and I like that. I'm always a fan of multiple people gunning for the champion at the same time.
Yes.
You figure all the singles wrestlers in a company should want that world title, that top belt, even if they're nowhere close to earning a shot anytime soon. They should still long-term be like, that's my dream. What's your dream in this company? Where do you see yourself in 3 years? World champion. Mm-hmm. So I love that, and I love that we have credible people. We had tweets shown from Cody this week being like, I still never got a one-on-one rematch. We had King on commentary saying, I beat these other three guys, and I'm going to beat Lethal next. And then we had Matt Taven backstage as well, saying that none of that even matters because I'm world champion, not Lethal.
Yeah, we even had a promo from Adam Page saying, like, you know, that he deserves some kind of title shot, even possibly the world title, which I thought, you know, maybe that's not going to happen right away. But I like us getting all of these different guys throwing their names in.
Yeah, it puts over the prestige of the title, right? Everybody wants that ROH World Championship because that's how much it means.
Yeah, absolutely. And it doubles down the effect that it has on Lethal in that it makes him a target in a lot of different directions and makes his stature in the company look all that more important.
And theoretically, it somewhat protects him when and if he ever loses the title, because when you can't turn around without somebody else getting in your face and demanding a match, when you're being chased down by the entire locker room, eventually you're going to slip up one time and it's going to cost you.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it takes longer than others. Let's look at Okada in New Japan. I mean, so there is a lot to be said for not letting those runs play out in a variety of lengths, but you're right. It does protect him when he inevitably will lose the title at some point. He's going to have, you know, a ton of competitors to choose from.
Well, our opening contest this week, as you alluded to, featured Adam Page taking on Scorpio Sky. Nobody at ringside, no Bullet Club, no SCU, no. Just Page and Sky, one-on-one. This was another one where I kind of felt like this is a little bit of filler. Like, Sky has the worst record of anyone in ROH this year. He's 0-9 in singles matches. In fact, here's a follow-up stat for you. No other person or team on the roster has wrestled at least 5 matches and never won one. Everyone else, even Josh Woods, Cheeseburger, Shane Taylor, you know, the Dogs, they've all won at least one match this year. Scorpio Sky never won a singles match.
Okay, so SCU is arguably, like, not arguably, they are absolutely one of the most over, like, teams in ROH. They are hugely over. This past year has been a really big turning point for SCU. So how, and Kaz and Daniels have each had their share of, like, singles wins or, you know, tag team wins, either as Addiction. Daniels has had some notable wins in singles competition. Why isn't Sky getting any wins?
Yeah, Daniels is 2-3 in singles matches this year. And Kaz is 1-1. So, you know, they picked up like a win each.
Yeah. But they're not fighting as many singles matches as, say, Scorpio Sky is with his 0-9 record.
Yeah. And I don't know. I think Scorpio's just, he's one of those guys that you can count on to make other people look good.
Yeah. And I think,
and like you said, he's over enough that beating him means something.
Yes.
People who don't keep stats like me might not even realize that he loses as often as he does, which is basically like one singles match a month.
I mean, that's actually a good point, because actually I'm not sure I would be keeping, I don't keep track of win loss records like you do. Not that yeah, either. because it doesn't necessarily mean as much as it does in certain promotions. So when it comes to like New Japan, it's not always definitely not usually the most important thing that's happening. So I don't usually keep track of win-loss records. So I think you make a good point. Like, I wouldn't really know what his loss record was if you hadn't alerted me to it, because I never really remember him being like bad in losing. He's just like, he's a very like talented, like, you know, turning a corner certainly this year as a singles wrestler, as much as his, you know, six man team has turned a corner in their popularity. So like, I never think of Sky as deficient as a wrestler. He just doesn't get the win.
Yeah, and I will I'll admit, you know, stats in professional wrestling don't necessarily mean a heck of a lot. I mostly keep them just for my own curiosity and my own interest. Mm-hmm. But ROH does do a pretty good job of protecting their top champions, their top names, and the stats often reflect that, which is why I keep them. So, best records in ROH this year. Number one, Women of Honor champion Sumi Sakai. Number two, Cody. Number three, world champion Jay Lethal. Number four, tag champions the Briscoes. Number five, Young Bucks. So there you go. Like, in the top five best records in the company, three of them are currently champions.
Yeah. Yeah, and it does tend to matter in certain promotions that have like a roster that is, you know, a little bit more limited when it comes to the amount of guys who are there full time or the amount of the guys who are there who are like accessible on a continuous basis. If you look at that roster, like, yeah, Cody and the Young Bucks, they spend their time away, but like the Briscoes are certainly like a undetachable part of the ROH brand. Sumi Sakai is their like their woman of honor, like the most full-time woman of honor that they have. So it also establishes kind of a like their win-loss records is also really reflective of like how much the guys are with the company, like, and how long and at what level they are, if they're of that like main event status, because certainly there are guys who are with the company full time and they're like, you know, they're still working their way up from like the low card.
Well, we haven't really talked about the guy who won the match, Adam Page.
Yes.
You know, I feel like we saw a couple of new things from Page in this match. It didn't feel as paint by numbers as his last singles match. I don't even remember who it was. His last match, but I remember at the time being, oh, it was Shane Taylor at Glory by Honor.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I remember that one being like, oh, this is just Paige doing like the Paige rule book or lineup or whatever. This one was a little bit different. He had like a running dropkick in a corner. He did a couple other things where I was like, okay, this is interesting.
Yeah. Overall, I tend to get a little bit less enthralled with Paige's performances in ROH than I do in what he's able to do in New Japan. And it's no shade against his performances in ROH. I've seen a lot of really great wrestling from him in that company, but there's something a little bit more raw. There's something a little bit less tethered in his performances in New Japan that, and maybe the crowd reaction and the way that it's like he's kind of a little bit more of a new exciting property over there too. So like, maybe that's also kind of skewing it, and the reason why it's a bit more exciting whenever he's on a show, on a card there, that versus when he's in ROH. But I do think that this was a match where he was kind of stepped out of his comfort zone. And I actually think that also speaks well of Scorpio Sky, because I like Paige against a flyer. Paige can do some flying moves, but like Scorpio Sky is definitely more of a high flying type. So like, I think that those styles really work well together, and Paige definitely benefits in having a guy who can move around like Sky can do.
There's a reason they don't call him Scorpio Land.
Yes. Right. So,
yeah. And at first, I'll admit, going into the commercial break, I was like, okay, so Paige picks up a win over a guy who never wins.
Who never wins, yeah.
So what? Like, what? You know, they haven't done anything with Paige, really, in like 4 months. His street fight against Martinez at Best in the World is the last big match of his I really remember.
Yeah.
But then we came out of commercial break, and he was backstage, pacing around with no shirt on, saying, I want a title shot, and I don't care which title it is. I'm coming for any of the four titles that you'll allow me to fight for. Mm-hmm. And that intrigued me a bit more. That was like, okay, so maybe this is, maybe something's happening with Paige. And we can talk about that more later.
Yeah, I would like to see that. I want to see something happen with Paige meaningful in the next couple of like the next month or two, because you know, going into the drive up to Final Battle, and I really think they need to seize upon Paige, because every time he gets a big story, every time he gets a big rivalry, he really does shine. Like, even in what I think was kind of a haphazardly developed feud with Punishment, I still think that he got a lot of really amazing moments from it and got to look really good, Punishment included in that too. So like, let's see some development in the next month or two, because he needs that. Like he's deserving of it. He's a genuine talent that needs that time and attention. And ROH will only do well by giving that time and attention to him. If that comes in the form of a title shot, another TV title shot, another shot at the world title, that would be really cool. But I don't know exactly what form that takes.
I have ideas, but we'll get to that.
Okay.
Hey, if you're a fan of the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, which you obviously are if you're listening to this right now, check out Solomonster Sounds Off. It's a weekly show covering all the latest news in the world of wrestling, from WWE to Lucha Underground, New Japan, and everything in between, plus listener Q&A, rankings, and more. Check it out in iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or download directly from thesolomonster.com.
Our third match on the show, Shane Taylor versus Eli Isom.
Yay!
I was watching this like live on TV, not on Honor Club, so I couldn't rewind. I feel like commentator Ian Riccobotti dropped the word puppy when Eli Isom was making his entrance.
I have the quote written down, puppy with big paws. And I really appreciate Ian jumping on this puppy train with me, because Eli Isom is, as I've said on multiple occasions, the most adorable puppy in the puppy pile. And I think we're finally getting to see him be established as like not just a Future of Honor competitor, not just a top prospect. I think we're going to get real time with Eli. I think he's finally in that like legit low card, still mid card, but like legit status where like we're no longer treating him just like the young lion or the young boy. He gets to have some singles matches. Yes, he got beat by Shane in this match. Yes, it happened like within what, like 7 minutes? Not a whole lot of time. But he got some good offense in right at the start, and they are definitely using him in a notable way. Like he's not just been filler talent. He's we're getting to see him. He has music. He has like an entrance, Kyra on screen. Like, come on. We're like, Eli's around now. And this, I think the commentary team and their enthusiasm for Eli, Caprice included, I think that says a lot in what ROH is starting to do and starting to push him a little bit more.
I can't wait for the Eli Isom Will Ferrar feud.
That will be totally fine. I'm
you
on
know board. It's incoming.
Oh, it's gotta happen, right? Because that's how it kind of works. You have a guy who's being established, there's a guy who's already been established on the like mid card, you give them a feud to like see what happens, to see what sticks. One of the guys is going to get, you know, a little bit more over because of it, and then you go from there. And Will Ferrar is a good fit for that.
There you go. Isom versus Ferrar in a dog fight.
Oh, puppy grudge match.
The return of the failed WWE Kennel from Hell match.
Oh, God.
You remember that one?
No, I don't. Am I missing something very important? Should I go back in wrestling history to see it?
I want to say it was Al Snow versus Boss Man. There was like a steel cage, and then outside of the cage was a pack of fierce dogs. And so you try to like shove your opponent's limbs through the cage so the dogs would bite them.
What?
Yeah, this was a legit thing.
That is not... I do not approve. That's awful.
No, the best part is that the dogs would refuse to cooperate. So they wouldn't bite anybody. They were just walking around and just like hanging out and peeing on the mats at ringside.
Aww. Those poor dogs. Poor dogs just chilling, hanging out, and then like they're getting people's limbs shoved at them.
It was the 90s. It's a different time.
Yeah, I guess. I don't think animal cruelty was ever like particularly a desirable trait in no matter what time, but I guess we did have a little bit more lax standards. Oh, that's awful. Ugh. Wrestling, wow. Man.
Well, Shane Taylor picked up the win over Eli Isom. Good on him, you know. He rises up the cards a little bit, I guess.
Yeah.
Everyone helps.
Yeah, and I mean, he definitely had a dominant win here. I don't want to take anything away from Shane Taylor, given my enthusiasm for Eli. I think that there is something to be said for the fact that Eli didn't just get like it was an outright squash. We got like 7 minutes out of it.
Yeah, not only did he beat Isom, but he also took out Cheeseburger pretty quickly as well.
He did, yeah, very, very quickly. What was the quote from Caprice or Ian? Turning a shote into a note?
Yeah. Oh,
that's a...
With a big right hand.
Yeah, good guy. Good shot. Wow.
So Shane beats Eli, gets the chair. He's going to do some significant damage to Isom. He had the chair wrapped around his neck.
Oof, yeah.
Berger makes the save. Berger falls to Shane Taylor as well. And then Flip Gordon hits the ring. And I like this flip. I like that he was serious and he was pissed off and doing the right thing, making the save for some other people, even though nobody came out to help him 2 weeks ago when he was getting triple teamed.
Yeah, no, I mean, he had to fight that battle alone, but apparently it has not soured him on teamwork because he, he was out there in defense, out there to take out Taylor, out there, but with a more self-focused agenda too, because I like that. Now, like, ultimately, he took out Taylor, but it wasn't simply just to, like, stand in the way of him, doing significant damage to Eli and Cheeseburger. He did it to make a point towards Bully, which I think was well demonstrated.
Yeah, and then we got a longer segment with Flip and Bully. Bully likes to just Bully's verbose.
Why are these segments, like, 20 minutes long?
I don't know. He seems to get like a full. Everybody else is like very. We get backstage promos from the Kingdom and stuff, and they get one line each, and then it's wrapped up. And the Bully comes out, and he's allowed to just spend 5-10 minutes making fun of the fans and goading them into doing things, and it works. I mean, he's got the heel heat now, right? Like he's probably the most hated guy in the company.
Yeah, at this point, I hate him simply for how long it takes him to get to the freaking point, like.
So it's working.
Oh, it's, yeah, no, it's totally working. This, like, and I'm a person who can often be long-winded, as we've seen, as we've heard on this podcast. This is why these podcast episodes tend to go over an hour long, because you and I can go on and on without getting to the point. But man, like, this whole spiel was like, oh, you want a challenge? You're nobody. Who are you to challenge me? I'm not going to take your challenge. Oh, wait. Yeah, we should fight. We'll fight. No, I'm not going to fight you. 20 minutes later. Well, on the other hand, are you a betting man? Like, come on, dude.
Yeah. After everything was said and done, we ended up with, next week on TV, Bully and Flip each put their own... I kept lacking the word last night. Not like a stand-in. I'm looking for a proxy. Is that the word I was looking for?
Proxy is good. Yeah, proxy.
I think so. That might have been it. Oh, thank God it finally came to me. All right, next week on TV, they return to Philadelphia, PA. They return to the old ECW arena. And so Flip and Bully each put up a proxy. Those two battle it out with Flip and Bully's destinies on the line. Bully is like... No surprises here. I'm not even going to make you wait. It's Silas. Of course it's Silas Young.
Yeah.
He's the last real man.
Yeah. You just beat up his other bully's only, like, other potential proxy. So what else can you do?
Yeah. And we don't know who Flip is putting up, though, to face Silas next week in Philadelphia. I mean, at this point, I feel like Cheeseburger is, like, the... Seems like the obvious candidate, right?
If it's Cheese... I really hope it's not Cheeseburger. Not... Because we've seen it. We've seen it multiple times. And it also... Just from a logical perspective, like, okay, I'm Flip Gordon.
Yeah, you want to win, right,
Flip? Yeah, I'm Flip Gordon. I have a lot on the line here because Bully Ray's going to do anything he wants to me if my proxy loses, which, by the way, the overtones on that whole do whatever I want to you thing... Pretty great. The crowd reaction to that was exactly perfect for, you know, interpreting that however they wanted to interpret it. But I'm Flip Gordon. I need to make a logical choice here about, like, I need my best chance at winning, and I need my best potential proxy to win that fight. Am I going to pick a guy who, yes, I support and I fight for and I like, but has lost multiple matches to Bully Ray? No, I'm going to pick someone who hasn't lost a match to Bully Ray, someone who is new and maybe without bias and whose loyalties are not, like, already known in one direction or another. I think the perfect guy. And we've talked about this in the past. You know who I'm going to say?
Luchasaurus.
Luchasaurus. Now, Jeff Cobb.
Oh, yeah.
Jeff Cobb.
That's a... Yeah, and Cobb seemed, like, based on the last... When we saw Cobb beat...
Isom?
Eli Isom. He was all gracious afterwards, shaking hands and kissing babies and stuff, so...
Yeah, I mean, we don't know exactly how Jeff Cobb's character is going to go with ROH, but we know... We get a sense that there's, like, some honor established there with him and the guys who are rising up. He also seems to value, like, his talent and the necessity of the fight and, like, the like glory of the fight itself. So like he's go and has stood up to a bully in Punishment Martinez, has stood up to a guy who will resort to underhanded tactics. So I feel like that makes a lot of sense. And they, if Jeff Cobb would be willing to do that for Flip Gordon.
Yeah. If not, I mean, you know, Flip is kind of friends with the Bullet Club crew. You think he could maybe talk Marty into stepping up, or, you know, Jay Lethal doesn't like Bully, doesn't like Silas. Go ask the world champ. Hey, you just beat Silas a week ago. Beat him again for me. I'll buy you dinner. Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, the real question is, what do the proxies get? Like, obviously, Silas Young gets, like, a win over somebody if he wins, and that's enough for him because, you know, he's a man all about winning, and his bully best friend is, like, will be nice to him. I don't know. But, like, what's in it for whoever helps Flip?
Well, at this point, it's pretty well established that nobody in the ROH locker room likes Bully Ray.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Silas is the only one who tolerates him. Basically, everybody else can't stand the guy. And Bully said, hey, if you win, you could fire me. So for that reason alone, you think almost everybody in the locker room would be like, yeah, I'll fight Silas. if it means we can shut up Bully and get him out of here, great, sign me up.
What if it's like seven guys? Because they're like, what if, like, no rules? Like, Flip has seven.
Can it be a handicap match?
Exactly. Flip's guy is seven guys.
Or it should be a lumberjack match, logically.
Oh, yeah?
All the Flip... Everybody who hates Bully surrounding the ring, so Silas, Bully, and Shane Taylor can't get involved.
Ah, see, I like that. See, Flip Gordon, start thinking strategically here. That's the problem about this. There's just like no strategy involved. Just like the like running in one at a time. Just like when the security guards try and stop Shane Taylor from going berserk, and they run in one at a time. Like, no, tech is a group.
So we think we're on board that Flip's going to win this one? Team Flip is going to win?
No. I think if... Well, because the logical assumption would be if Flip won, they would fire Bully, and then we would have an end to Bully Ray, and I can't possibly be that lucky.
No, because that's not Flip Gordon's character. He doesn't want to fire it. He wants a match against Bully, right?
So you think that, like, Flip Gordon's proxy will win, and Flip will ask for...
And Flip says, yeah, now you have to fight me in a hardcore match.
You know what?
Or a street fight, one-on-one.
That's exactly what's going to happen, because of course Flip would
do that. Sounds like Flip.
That sounds stupid and honorful.
he's not the brightest kid around. But you like him anyway. Not everybody can be a super smart ring general like Christopher Daniels.
Or an adorable puppy.
Because, like, if Silas wins, what does Bully choose to do to Flip?
Shave his head.
It's already like halfway there.
I mean, yeah, there's not a whole lot to take there. I don't know. I'm curious either way. I'm actually curious. This is, I will admit, I've bit on this. This has been enough bait for me to be like, okay, I'm interested in whatever happens next week.
All right. So you're going with Jeff Cobb.
Okay, yeah.
As the proxy.
Let's go for it. I'm going to go for it. Yeah. Jeff Cobb.
And if that's the case, then he has to win.
Yes. Oh, yeah, of course. Don't go cheeseburger. It's just like, it doesn't make any sense.
That's why I think it's a Flip decision. Okay. My head says cheeseburger defeats Silas Young by disqualification. Bully and Silas just don't care. And, like, what's Flip going to do? Whatever. They just attack Cheeseburger and beat him up again. My heart says Colt Cabana.
That also from a logical, like, I gotta win this doesn't make total sense.
It's a former NWA world champion.
No, not because of any shade against Colt, just because they just had this match with Bully and Silas, and the first person who was out of it was Colt Cabana.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm sure Flip would be wanting to give him a second chance and knows that Cabana wants revenge as well.
Fair enough. And this is just like a singles match against Silas, so, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah,
presumably Flip and Bully will both be at ringside, so that they'll counter each other out.
Okay.
Maybe Shane Taylor shows up. Maybe Eli Isom shows up to counter him out too.
All right. I think you have a decent premise here. Okay.
I don't know. I'm intrigued too. We'll find out next week.
All right. Until then.
Yes.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan, but you might like MMA too. And if so, check out our sister site, MMATorch.com, with live fight event coverage, including UFC pay-per-views, previews of all UFC and Bellator events, the daily news digest, exclusive columns, flashbacks, and much more. Check it out. If you're a fan of MMA, you'll be a fan of MMATorch.com.
Last thing from this week's TV before we move on. Speaking of stats, I feel the need to point out that this was our sixth episode of television in a row without a women's match.
Yep.
It was 7 weeks ago that we had Sumi Sakai versus Tasha Steelz. That was a 3-minute match. Sumi won. Since that episode, we've had 5 weeks of TV with no women at all, and 1 week where Tennille Dashwood got to do an in-ring promo announcing a hiatus. But that's it.
Yeah. Why?
I don't know. A month and a half is a long time without, like, any representation from a whole division.
Yeah. It's happening, and this is, you know, just bad timing, I suppose. Whatever happened to cause this to be the case, I'm sure it's just coincidence and bad timing, but, like, right now it's really unfortunate because right now in, like, WWE, like, in other wrestling promotions, things are looking really good. Like, women are getting a lot of high-profile attention. Yeah. They just
finished the Mae Young Classic with Karen Q and Deonna Purrazzo. They just did their all-women's pay-per-view
yeah.
the same night that I watched this episode.
Yeah. It's not great for ROH to be the guys who aren't making a whole lot of progress recently in their Women of Honor division, while WWE, who has, you know, historically not been great with their women's talent, is actually doing some really good stuff with their women's talent right now. So yeah.
And no women announced for Survival of the Fittest. No women's matches announced for any of the four Global Wars dates yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there definitely will be.
There will be.
On Global Wars. But again, it's just kind of telling that all these other matches are announced first and no women's matches announced in any capacity.
Yeah. I mean, we get it. Like, your division is going through some growing pains right now. Like, you're having a shortage of talent, but you have people who are signed and they need to perform, and we need to see some stuff. We need to have some matches here. We need storylines. We need presence, because otherwise we're going into the last stretch of the year and we don't have anything. We only have things, big questions that we're not going to be able to get answers for months, because, you know, whatever is going on with Tennille, it's going to take a while for her health problems to resolve in a way that she can get back in ring. So we're left stranded, and we need some stuff with the women's division before the end of the year. And that means we need to start developing it now.
Yeah, I mean, we assume Sumi is going to be defending her title at Final Battle in December.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just 2 months away, maybe less than 2 months away. And there's no logical number one contender right now. No, like, big threat in the division where they're on a collision course with each other. You know, Lethal has three. Lethal could defend against Cody or Taven or Kenny King at this point, and any of those would make sense because they've been building that for months. But I don't know who Sumi's going to face.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know either. And I don't know why we don't have any women's matches on television every week. Like, even even if they're not doing much with those matches, even if those matches are mainly like outside talent or you know, part-time talent, we still need to be reminded that Women of Honor exists.
Well, and even so, we get these, like, they do these every week. There's a brief backstage, a very brief backstage promo in front of the ROH banner with people. Last week it was Adam Page talking about his match this week, next week, blah, blah, blah. We got the Kingdom talking about we're the real world champions, stuff like that, right? It's like 30 seconds long. It's just, it's very brief, but it gives you a sense of their personalities and their characters, reminds us where we are in terms of stories. I don't think we ever get any of the Women of Honor in that capacity. We never see like one of these 30-second things with Jenny Rose addressing Kelly Klein or Mandy Leone explaining why she hasn't wrestled in 9 months or Brandy explaining why she hasn't wrestled since coming back from injury, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't even have, like, we're just getting less and less reminders that that Women of Honor is present and happening. Like, if it weren't for Tennille's in-ring promo, we wouldn't, the last several weeks would have been largely without any reference to Women of Honor at all.
Yes. But what can we do other than address it and clamor for more?
Yeah.
That's all you and I can do.
Yeah. I mean, we know that there's an investment made there. We know that there's interest there. They wouldn't have done all the work that they've done this past year with the division if they didn't want it to grow. So, like, we're excited for it too, and that's what we want. So give it to us.
Yes, more Women of Honor and less Bully Ray with a microphone.
Yeah, you know, cut Bully Ray's time from like 35 minutes of screen time to maybe like 15, and then you can squeeze in a women's match there.
This Sunday in Columbus, Ohio, it's Survival of the Fittest. This is one of the more, this is probably the most prestigious tournament in ROH.
Yeah.
I'd say.
Yeah, remember when we were like...
Yeah, when we totally blanked about it.
We were like, oh, ROH needs tournaments. They don't have any tournaments. And everyone was like, guys, Survival of the Fittest?
Yeah, this one goes back to 2004. And you look at the list of winners, and it's a who's who. Daniel Bryan, Roderick Strong, Seth Rollins, Cassius Ohno, Jay Lethal, Adam Cole, Bobby Fish. Like, just some of the best wrestlers in independent wrestling in the last decade and a half.
Yeah.
Have won this thing.
Yeah. And last year's winner was Punishment?
Punishment Martinez.
There you go.
Went on to hold the television title for a decent length of time. Now he's signed to NXT. That's the other funny thing is looking at the list of winners, it's like these are all WWE guys now.
Yeah, I mean, aside from a few notable examples, exactly, right? Like, going back to 2015, Elgin isn't in NXT.
On the main roster of WWE right now, Daniel Bryan, Seth Rollins in NXT, Roderick Strong, Cassius Ohno, Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, Punishment Martinez. Eddie Edwards is a big deal over in Impact Wrestling right now. He's like a main eventer there.
Yeah, I mean,
what's Elgin doing these days?
Elgin is in New Japan. I mean, I don't mind saying it. Like, I don't, like, he's a shithead. So, like, hopefully he's not going to do much anywhere. But he was in G1, and we actually haven't seen him in a show. I don't think he's been in any of the fall shows. So that's totally fine by me.
Yeah, he's from my hometown of Oshawa, Ontario, Canada. So I can't say I'm surprised that he's not the greatest dude.
It's story for, talk for another time.
Yeah, so pretty much, I don't know what happened in 2006, how Delirious won the whole thing. But everybody else on that list is like top talent.
Yes.
So this Sunday in Columbus, Ohio, it is Survival of the Fittest. We've got a 7-match tournament featuring, 14 people. I don't know, a bunch of people. I can't do math right now. We have the tournament. We also have a couple of other non-tournament matches. Cody and the Young Bucks defend the 6-man titles against the Kingdom. We have SoCal Uncensored taking on Jay Lethal and Jeff Cobb in tag team action.
Yeah.
And then the Survival of the Fittest tournament itself. 6 first-round matches. Jonathan Gresham, versus Hot Sauce Tracy Williams. Actually, what am I doing? Let's do this one at a time because we have to give our predictions.
Okay.
Okay. Cody and Young Bucks defend six-man titles against the Kingdom.
I'm going to say they retain.
Yeah, it seems, I don't know. Well, it seems like why would you put the belts back on the Kingdom at this point?
Yeah, exactly.
Taven's destined for bigger and better things.
You know, Taven's got his whole singles run. His goons can just hang out and back him up. And yeah, no, I'm going to say Cody the Bucks retain on this one.
Yeah, I think if anything, Tika and Vinny could go after the two-man tag titles in the future.
Absolutely.
That would make more sense.
Yeah.
Have them feud with best friends or coast to coast for a bit.
Or bouncers or whomever. Yeah.
Okay. SoCal Uncensored versus Jay Lethal and Jeff Cobb. They probably announced which members of SCU are competing, but I didn't write it down.
I think it's Kaz and Daniels. I'm pretty sure.
Okay, The Addiction?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Well, regardless, I find it hard to believe that either Jeff Cobb or your world champion would take a pinfall.
Oh, no, it's going to be Frankie. It's going to be Kaz and Scorpio Sky.
Okay. So who pins Scorpio, Jeff or Jay?
Jeff. Let's say Jeff. I'm sorry. I feel like I've just always – I swear I'm not, like, a hopeless Jeff Cobb, like, fanboy. Like, I just think that he's going to get the pin because this is, you know, they're still establishing him.
Yeah, he's only had two matches in ROH, yeah. So you want him to look dominant, look like a big
guy. Yeah, they want to build him up. They're probably, hopefully they're going to use him really well in the Pittsburgh tapings this weekend. The Rival Defense will obviously air before that, so we'll get a whole other set of it. I see him getting the pin because obviously it's part of the story.
Okay, so now our Survival of the Fittest tournament. We have six first-round matches. The winner of each match competes in a six-way elimination match in the main event. Match number one, Jonathan Gresham versus Tracy Williams. The Octopus versus Hot Sauce. That's a menu to be written.
Yes. I'm going to go with Gresham.
The Calamari Special.
I'm going to go with Gresham. I mean, I'm so psyched to see Tracy Williams wrestle Jonathan Gresham. I'm sure that they have done it multiple times already in other promotions. But I'm excited by the prospect of Tracy Williams being in ROH. And I'm excited that he's involved in this tournament. I'm hoping that it's well received and possibly we'll see him again in the future. But I think Gresham will win this.
Yeah, I don't know anything about Williams, but I know Gresham. And we've seen in the multi-man, like in the four-corner survival match that he had, that tends to be almost where he shines the most because he stands out so differently from everybody else's in-ring style. Everybody else is flipping and doing all these other things, and he's just doing these submissions and these manipulations. So Gresham being in that six-way later in the show, I think, would be a great showcase for him.
Well, I think you're going to enjoy this match, too, because Tracy Williams can go the technical route just like Gresham does. So they're going to be well-matched. It's going to be a competitive match.
Okay. Match number two is a Lucha Underground special. It's the Darewolf, PJ Black, versus Luchasaurus, formerly known as Vibora, member of the Reptile Tribe.
Ooh.
So this one's interesting because neither of them are ROH guys.
Nope.
And it's interesting that we're getting this match on this show. I think it'll be a lot of fun. You don't see guys like Luchasaurus in ROH. If you're not familiar with him, he wears like a giant dinosaur mask, basically. It's really, really interesting looking. I think the fans will dig it in the same way that, you know, whenever ROH does do something a little silly or a little, like, out of their usual comfort zone, Bernard the Business Bear, the fans respond accordingly. The fans love it.
Yeah, the fans are all about it. I mean, you're talking about a company that has an equal mix of fans who are, like, into the, like, more serious aspects of pro wrestling and also into the goofiest aspects of pro wrestling. So, yeah.
Like Penis Druids.
You know, I mean, but come on. Penis Druids.
Yeah. That said, it's a tough one here, but I think I'm going to go with PJ Black just because he's more sort of your traditional ROH wrestler.
Yes. And I'm with you there. From what I've read a little bit up on both guys, I'm going to go with PJ Black as well.
Just like you and Tracy, I'll be on the record of saying, I hope we see more PJ in the future in ROH because him having matches against Flip and Paige and other people, that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, I know he's done time with, he's been on TNA or Impact. He's done even time in NWA, I believe. Like,
yeah, got his start in NXT, was on WWE main roster for a long time.
Yeah, seems like a really good fit. I'm excited to see him. I'm still working up to where he is in Lucha Underground, but I'm excited to see him in this match.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
All right. Match number three. The almighty Christopher Daniels versus Beer City Bruiser. Kind of one of the weird stories this year is how many singles matches Bruiser has gotten. He's been getting... I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean, like, I think of him as being a tag wrestler with Malonis.
Yes. Right?
He's the bouncer. But he gets a lot of singles matches, considering.
Yeah.
More than Rhett Titus does, more than Mark Briscoe does at this point.
Even. Yeah, and he gets them against, like, pretty high-profile opponents.
Yeah, I think it's another one of these things where Gresham stands out as being unique due to his style. Bruiser stands out because of his physique. He's just like, unlike anybody else on the roster.
Yes, absolutely. And that, like, you know, there's not that many, like, big dudes in the roster of ROH. So, like, he does stand out for that reason. But for me, he keeps standing out to me in probably not the most, like, complimentary way, but, like, he's standing out to me because when he is in a singles match, he's always the guy I'm like, wait, they put so-and-so against Beer City Bruiser? And so I was a little surprised that it was Daniels versus BCB.
A lot of times I almost look at the cards and stuff, and I picture Hansen's name being, like, crossed out and Beer City Bruiser scribbling over top.
Okay, yeah, like, that makes sense.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, if War Machine hadn't left, like, this would have been where Hansen was, but he's not around, so I guess we'll use Bruiser.
Yeah, I kind of see it. I especially Survival of the Fittest, which, you know, like, you have to think that they know that they're going to do, so maybe all year round they have, like, the list on the black on the whiteboard, and, like, every time a guy gets signed and leaves a company, they have to wipe off that name or write a new name of someone who's still around.
So you think Daniels wins then?
Yeah.
Match number four, the return of the Peacock, Dalton Castle. He's back. And he is taking on Hangman Page and Colin Delaney in a triple threat.
I'm not even super familiar with Colin Delaney.
No, I know the name, but that I don't know why.
Yeah, I know I've seen his name in, like, Chikara and CZW, so I don't know. He seems to be, like, one of those guys that just pops up on the indie circuit fairly regular. Actually, kind of surprised I haven't seen him in ROH before.
He was enhancement wrestler for WWE for a couple years.
Okay, yeah. That is a lot of the, like, indie stalwarts tend to be. Yeah. Not sure about this one. But I'm going to say, my guess is Castle.
Okay.
Just to reestablish him, to get him back going in the best way.
I kind of think, like, he's a former world champion. He doesn't need to win Survivor the Fittest.
He's been out on injury for a while, and he lost his title back in June, and we haven't seen him since. So for me, it's like, oh, they want to bring him back, and they want to bring him back in the best way possible.
Okay, well, I'm going with Paige. Courtesy of a rite of passage to Delaney.
Okay.
Match number five. Flip Gordon versus Andrew Everett versus Guerrero Maya Jr. This is a big question mark because we got two guest stars from two different promotions here.
Yeah.
Along with Flip Gordon.
Yeah, I mean, for me, that tends to make me think that that's going to be Flip Gordon.
See, for me, I think you can't have the ROH guys win every match. That'd be weird. You bring in all these guest stars and they all lose. That doesn't reflect well on CMLL or these other promotions.
Well, that's why you have like a Luchasaurus versus PJ Black match where like both are guests. So like there's going to be at least one in the final.
Okay, well, I think, and Flip doesn't win a heck of a lot of matches either, so I don't think he wins here. I just don't know whether it's going to be Maya or Everett. That's my question mark.
Okay, well, let's both decide we won't pick Flip. We'll pick one of the other guys. My guess is going to be Maya Jr.
Okay, then I'm going with former Impact Wrestling star Andrew Everett.
Okay.
Match number 6, the villain, Marty Scurll, versus the last real man, Silas Young, versus the, I don't know, Stuka Jr. I don't know what his nickname is. I'm sorry, Stuka.
I'm stupid.
This is another kind of tough one, I guess.
So, all right. So because I went with Maya last time, I'm not going to go choose another CMLL guy. So I'm going to go with Scurll.
Okay. Yeah, and you figure Marty has gotten a decent push the last year or two. He'd be a perfect candidate to win Survival of the Fittest. Look at the past list of winners. His name fits perfectly along those.
Right?
But Silas Young has also been getting this renewed push with Bully at his side. I mean, if we were booking this based on like stories, you figure Flip and Silas would both win and then eliminate each other in the main event.
Right? Mm-hmm.
That kind of makes sense. But then that pokes holes in my theory that we have to have some of our guest stars win to give them credibility and to like give us some surprises in the main event. Oh, I'm so torn. I guess I'll go with Skrull.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting.
But I really don't know.
That's interesting. So if in your predictions, because didn't did you pick Hangman Page to win?
I did.
So if that ends up happening, if your predictions stand, then in the final 6, you'll have Marty and Hangman fighting against each other.
Hmm. Or not necessarily, because 6 guys in the match.
Yeah, 6-way elimination. I mean, they may never even come close.
They could be fighting, never even touch each other, and then one of them gets eliminated.
But that would be that would be interesting if that did not happen that way.
So I guess my main event that I'm looking at is Skrull versus Everett versus Page versus Daniels versus Black versus Gresham.
Yeah, mine is Gresham, Black, Daniels, Castle, Maya Jr., Skrull.
And who wins Survival of the Fittest?
Oh, okay. Who of yours?
Why me?
Gresham.
Jonathan Gresham wins the whole thing. The fans would like that.
The fans would like that. I think it would establish him in the right moment going into 2019.
And he would earn another title shot against Jake.
He would, but I don't think he would. He wouldn't cash it in right away. I think we're going to see a title change before he would cash it in.
Okay. Well, I wasn't too sure who I thought would win Survival of the Fittest until this week's television, when we had someone pacing around backstage with no shirt on, talking about how he wants a title shot. He doesn't care if it's the world title. He wants any title. I came out of that match against Scorpio Sky thinking he's kind of been directionless the past couple of months since that feud with Martinez ended. They haven't done enough with Hangman this year as I thought they would have. I thought this was going to be a huge year for Hangman in ROH. He was going to get like a big push, and he hasn't really. And then I remembered that he made it to the finals of the first International Cup before losing to Mark Haskins. So what better than to have him go to the finals again of the next tournament and win the whole thing?
Oh, you're so clever. That's so smart. I think you're...
I kind of like my prediction now.
No, I really like your prediction. I actually think that makes a ton of sense. It makes a ton of sense for what they've done and not done with Hangman this year. It makes a ton of sense for his momentum moving forward into Final Battle and into 2019. Makes a ton of sense. Okay. I'm not going to change my prediction because I'm not going to, but I think that's really, really smart. And I would not be surprised if that's what came to happen.
All right. We'll find out Sunday.
Woohoo!
Also, Saturday on Honor Club, we'll be streaming for Vengeance footage from the Jericho Cruise, including Chris Jericho and the Young Bucks taking on Kenny Omega, Cody, and Marty Scurll in six-man tag, plus stuff from the Sea of Honor tournament, where somebody else will win a future world title shot. So, wow, Lethal might be in trouble. He already has Cody, Taven, and Kenny King coming after him. Coming out of this weekend, he might have another two names on that list as well.
Yeah, there's just guys lining up.
Final battle main event will just be a gauntlet match. Lethal against half the guys on the roster.
Yeah, and then, like, then Sumi Sakai will make her bid for the world title. Right?
One can dream.
Come on!
Also, coming up very quickly, in about a week and a half, is the Global Wars Tour. ROH heads to Maine, Massachusetts, New York, and Ontario, Canada. We've got tons of matches announced. We won't go through them all here. We'll talk about those in more depth next week. But we've got LIJ making appearances, Kushida, Juice Robinson.
Yeah.
Is this his ROH debut?
I don't think so. I may be wrong, but I think he's been on before.
Or like his American debut, maybe, like with Chase Owens.
Oh, okay. That's a fair point. Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, because like I know, I don't remember him being around. I feel like I would. Because I remember Juice going way back to NXT days.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Maybe this is his North America ROH debut.
All right. We'll find out. Yeah. So that 4 dates on that tour. Tons of matches happening there. In person, I get to witness Jay Lethal versus Kenny King for the world title. Cody versus Beretta for the IWGP United States Championship.
Fine.
Young Bucks versus Sabin and Kushida. And Dalton Castle and Juice Robinson versus Naito and Bushi. Plus more. Hopefully a women's match.
Yeah, hopefully at least one women's match. I'm excited for you. You have a really great card for your Toronto show. I stress to you, it has been a joy to watch Chris Sabin and Kushida tag together during Junior Tag League. Everyone listening, if you are not watching these matches, please go watch the matches that Chris Sabin and Kushida fight because they are so good together. All the best joy of watching Chris Sabin and Alex Shelley and Katina and Alex Shelley combined in just like a magical like spirit of friendship and nerdery, but they're amazing wrestling. It's awesome. All the matches that they've done so far for Junior Tag League have been great to watch. I think you're going to really enjoy this match with them against the Young Bucks.
Well, if anybody can make them look even better, it's the Bucks.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be fantastic. I can't wait to see it. And I can't wait to hear your thoughts.
All right. And hopefully I'll be wearing a brand new t-shirt while I do.
Yeah. And next week I'll be able to talk about all the things that happened in the TV taping and spoil every single thing for you, Harley, because I know how much you love that.
I love spoilers. So I prefer to read about wrestling more than watch it.
Yeah. So email your spoilers.
I think wrestling is a good book.
Email your spoilers to talkingotter@gmail.com.
Yeah. Send it over there. Also, send us any thoughts that you have about who's going to win Survival of the Fittest, mm-hmm. about who Flip Gordon's proxy is going to be next week on TV, about how the Women of Honor can be better integrated into weekly television, and about how many points you have on your Honor Club account.
Yeah. Ooh.
Do you have 100?
What if Flip's proxy is just his disguise from All In?
Oh, it's
he's Chico El Luchador.
El Hijo del Chico.
Yeah, he's just one of Chico's cousins again.
Yeah, that'd be you figure, what it would make sense for Flip to just be like, I don't need somebody else. I fight my own battles.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to he wants to be able to get away with it, so he dresses in costume. What if his proxy is Brandy Rhodes?
Ooh. And then Silas is like, we're not allowed to have intergender matches. So she wins by, what's the word?
Default?
Forfeit? Yeah.
I love it. Book it.
There you go. You can find me on Twitter at Talking Honor.
You can find me on Twitter at ForkedPGH, ForkedPGH.
Next week on this podcast, we'll have our thoughts on Sea of Honor, our thoughts on Survival of the Fittest, our predictions for Global Wars, and we'll talk about television, including Silas Young versus Brandi Rhodes.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free additions to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell audio show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer, and there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan4L's Pro Wrest Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average, and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip, and you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip.